Since 1776, American involvement in military actions and wars have been almost more numerous than any care to count. There have been hundreds of times our service people have been dispatched, and they went, and they served valiantly and always honorably. However, it proves practically again and again that freedom is never free. Freedom requires constant vigilance, devotion, determination, courage, sacrifice, even to the placing of one's life on the line to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and to ensure that our people and our way of life is preserved to ourselves and our children's children. Sometimes one's life is the price. Men and women serving in the United States Marine Corps, the United States Navy, the United States Army, the United States Air Force, the United States Coast Guard have answered that call. Their selflessness, their devotion to duty, the pledging of their lives for America and her Constitution have served to preserve this nation throughout her history. They remain on watch so that you and I, everyday Americans, can build our homes and families in peace and attend school, go to our jobs, enjoy the blessings of liberty in our lives, and sleep in safety every night in our beds without fear. To you all who are now serving or who have served in the past, from all of us at KNNALP FM 95.7, we send you our deepest and sincerest thank you. You will never be forgotten.
Lincoln's only Lutheran community radio, KNNA 95.7 FM, The Cross.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship each Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. Thank you, and may God richly bless you today and always in Jesus.
Is the average time your eyes are off the road while texting. When traveling at 55 miles per hour, that's enough time to cover the length of a football field blindfolded. Put down the phone. Don't text and drive.
Radio is not free. Well, maybe for you, the listener, it is, but here at KNNA 95.7 FM, not so much. Every year, there are expenses that must be met. The only way for that to happen is if a fantastic person, such as yourself, donates to KNNA The Cross. Come on over to thecross957.org for more information and to donate. Help keep this station alive and well. Once again, that is thecross957.org.
Welcome! Welcome to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM here in Lincoln, Nebraska. I am Captain Kirk, and with me is my host, my co-host, David. Say hello, David.
Hello.
I think I do that every show. Say hello,
yep.
David.
Hello, David. And then I do that joke.
Yes.
Becoming a routine.
We are joined here with Pastor Schmidt. Thank you for being on the show today, Pastor.
Yes, good to be here.
It's been quite a show so far. I gotta say, we've done three episodes. No, three? Yeah, we've done
yep,
three. Yeah, we've done
yep, three.
Three
already.
This makes four, and they have just been utterly amazing.
Yeah, we'll see if we can break that record.
I think this is going to be another great one. We've got some great Great questions. Now, as always, if we don't get to all the questions, that's okay. That's perfectly okay. That's already happened twice or all three times.
I think it's happened.
Has it happened all three episodes?
All twice that I've been here. I don't know what happened last
week. That's
right.
Last week you were not here. But I think we got to all three last week, but we didn't really go in as much depth as we could have with Pastor Morendi, so I think we're going to have a B continued with him. So if that happens with you, Pastor, today, that's perfectly fine. The next time you come back on, if you so wish, we'll revisit that question that we didn't quite get
that's
to.
Fine.
So we've talked about questions in the past, like, you know, is the Bible really the Word of God? Is Jesus God? We've talked about communion and baptism. Now, not necessarily directly the two sacraments, but more along the lines of who can take it, when can you take it, speaking on behalf of infants. We've talked about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to get into some more like X-Files questions in the future. Like in the future, we do have things about
extraterrestrials.
We do.
And Bigfoot.
We do have those questions. But we also focus on theological questions and apologetics and that kind of thing. So without further ado, why don't we go ahead and get to it. So you ready, Pastor?
Sure.
All right. So the first question that we have for you, let me pull it up here. Sorry, I had it and it disappeared on me. All right. So this is one I hear a lot. I think everybody in this room hears this question a lot. If God is a loving God, then why does he let us suffer? Why is there suffering in this world? I mean, God's supposed to be this loving God. He's done all this for us. He saves us. Well, then why are we supposed to go through all this suffering?
Mm-hmm. The problem of pain.
Yeah.
I think I hear this one more than any other question, actually.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yep.
Are you a loving parent?
Yes. At least I'd like to think I am. There are those moments, you know, as a parent, you're just like,
Do you ever discipline your children?
Yes.
Why? How can you be loving if you're going to deny them something?
That I never thought about it that way, but yeah, I mean, you got to punish your children for them to learn, so the next time they don't make that mistake.
And that's where the word in Scripture to train or to discipline, to educate, means the raising of a child. And yes, there's times when, you know, you end up, if you don't say it, oh, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
There's times when that's true. And it is an amazing thing to some people when they finally realize that their little darling has original sin, just like them.
Yes. Yeah.
And that plus the fact that we are sinners in a sinful world.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not the best of all possible worlds. We've spoiled it. This is what Adam and his wife plunged us into. And the reason that God allows suffering, there's, you know, you can come at this a whole bunch of different ways. I suppose we could do like Pastor Morandi and have how many weeks of study of Job, but maybe you know, it's flattering that you think we can do this here in 45 minutes. But
we just do our best.
But God, out of love, disciplines us or allows suffering to take place because none of our suffering is ever going to take away the cause of sin.
Right.
No matter what the situation is, sin is somehow involved because, if nothing else, sinners are involved.
Right.
So in a sinful world, with us as sinful residents of this world, things are going to be bad at times. Not always of my own making. And I found it interesting, too, sometimes when I thought about, well, Adam and his wife were created with nerve endings. I mean, so they knew if they stumbled over a stone or something and it hurt, mm-hmm. it was before the fall into sin. But
you'd think, anyway.
Well, I would assume so.
That brings up another interesting point, which I don't know if we've got time for, because we do have our questions here. But if death hasn't come yet, because there's no fall into sin yet, I mean, would there really be pain? as well?
Well, is that pain, from touching something sharp, is that necessarily a sinful thing?
No.
Did the roses not have thorns until after the fall? Maybe I'm bringing up too many questions.
More questions might be bringing up more questions. We do have a pastor who's going to come on. We're going to try to discuss some creation stuff. Yeah. Hopefully he'll come on more than once. But you know, one of the things I've heard too is because of sin, even things like plants grew unfortunate mutations that were. I mean, that's a whole other debate, but so that's why it's that's why I guess maybe that's possible that thorns came after the fall because of sin. I mean, I've heard that. Doesn't mean I agree with that. I'm just saying I've heard that before. Yeah. So, and people might think, well, before the fall into sin, it was heaven basically. It was paradise. So, I don't think there should be pain. That's what I've also heard too. But I've never thought about it that way. That you're right; they do have nerve endings. I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. For more questions.
I don't know. I mean, there's. I mean, if all creation is, you know, is now tainted, then our imaginations are also tainted, and thus unable to perceive of perfection. I mean, whatever the world looked like prior to sin. We can't really imagine, just like we can't imagine what the world is going to look like after sin has passed away. So, they had nerve endings, thus they had to experience pain. I think if there was pain, it was pain without wickedness. You know, again, we're getting into
speculation.
I didn't mean to get clear off on that.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
It's an interesting question though, because you know they had to biologically how different were things.
Well, we'll try to save that question for a future
another day.
So, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Y Files here on KNNALP 95.7. We're joined here with Pastor Schmidt, and we're discussing the question of. If God is a loving God, then why does he let us suffer?
If I could dig into that question a little bit more, something you mentioned, Pastor Schmidt, you mentioned the immediate response to that was, do you ever discipline your children? And, of course, the answer is yes, children need discipline. It seems to me that could possibly lead into a way of thinking about hardship and suffering that you see a lot of, and that is when difficult things occur, people think, "Oh, I must have done something wrong."
Well, you can have suffering for all sorts of different reasons. Something that's been imposed on you that wasn't your fault.
Right. Right.
If I take all my family's money and go out and gamble it all away, I'm not the only one who suffers. My family's going to suffer as well.
Right.
And, they didn't do anything to bring that about.
Right.
That's part of the indication of sin in the world. The statement starts off right. If God is a loving God, and that assumption is correct, then we need to understand or recognize that when God allows some suffering of some sort, it's there for a reason. Now, we may not know what the reason is. In John 9, you have the man who's born blind, and immediately the question is asked, well, who sinned, this man or his parents?
Right.
And I'm so thankful for that chapter because Jesus points out that it was not him or his parents. This was done for the glory of God, and then leads into healing his blindness. So
that's a good spot to stop there for a second, because we do have to take a quick break, and it is a quick break. They don't last very long. So this is the Y Files. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more questions on the suffering that God. I'm not saying this right. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
not so long, long time ago, in a city you most likely live in, an organization known as KNNA the Cross emerged. As time went on, they grew to such a power that they soon created the radio station. And with it, a mighty tower. With such power brings great responsibility. KNNA 95.7 knows they cannot do it alone. With great hope, they sent out a message to all who would listen.
You do not want to change the radio station.
I do not want to change the radio station.
You wish to subscribe to KNNA.
I wish to subscribe to KNNA.
You will go to thecross957.org and subscribe.
I see your point, sir.
I will go to thecross957.org and subscribe.
May the radio be with you, always.
Now, we were just saying off the air how I really like that spot. I know it's cheesy, but I really like it. And it's not just because I made it. It's because I do like it. You guys are listening to The Y-Files here on KNNA, LP 95.7 FM, which, by the way, you can also listen online at thecross957.org or download the free app on Google Play or the App Store. Just search KNNA. We are here with myself, Captain Kirk, and David. Joining us is Pastor Schmidt, and we're discussing the question of if God is a loving God, then why does he let us suffer? Now, you brought up the blind man before we went to our break. Can you just reiterate that again in case anybody just missed that?
Well, John 9 presents the fact that a man has been born blind, and he's there before Jesus. And the disciples ask who sinned, this man or his parents. And he ends up saying that it's neither of them, that it is there for the glory of God. In other words, God is working something out that is hidden to us, but which he's now ready to reveal. And whole idea that the assumption that, well, you know, these parents were somehow wicked, evil parents, and that's why they ended up with a son who's blind, it wasn't limited to the first century. Mm-hmm. And the thought then that this is somebody's fault, Jesus addresses that right away so that he can go on, heal the man, and then the man bears witness to who he, Jesus, is. In fact, the man makes a very astute argument to those who want to find fault with Jesus, and they keep asking him questions, and he ends up finally saying, well, do you want to be one of his followers? And at that point, they really are upset with him. It's interesting in John's gospel that he seems to reveal more about who he is to unbelievers and to people who are puzzled rather than what he does to his disciples. That's just a little aside. But eventually then, the man, after having washed his eyes and seeing then for the first time, meets Jesus again, and Jesus reveals who he is, and his response is, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him, it says. So that leads into chapter 10, and Jesus builds on that with the idea of the blindness of of his critics. Mm-hmm. And they catch that. I mean, they catch the idea that they're blind and don't understand who Jesus is and what he's about. And in the same way, our suffering in this lifetime and the things that we get so frustrated with, or the things that limit us, it's easy to be frustrated with it and think that, you know, what did I do wrong? Why is God letting this happen to me? Mm-hmm. And whether that man in John 9 asked that of himself or not, I don't know. But he certainly was thankful to see the one who came to heal him. The suffering that's in this world, though, is, I mean, Romans 6 points it out very simply. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, left to ourselves in this world, it's going to be a miserable place.
Indeed.
it's in the face of that, then, that the Christian gospel declares that Jesus is the one who came to address this problem and address the works of the devil and overcome him and restore creation to its proper owner, which is God himself. And as long as we're in this world, it's going to be a less than perfect place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the suffering that people undergo, you hear somebody, let's say a woman's husband died and he'd been a bit of a stinker all his life, and so people kind of conclude, well, she had her cross to bear.
Mm-hmm. I've heard people say that, yeah.
And miss the point that when Jesus talks about cross-bearing, he is referring to the sufferings we undergo because we are Christian. Mm-hmm. It is not simply everything I suffer. Oh, I got a parking ticket. What a rotten deal. That's mm-hmm. that's not cross-bearing.
Yes, yeah.
And the fact that there's a distinction that could be made here gets at what Luther calls a theology of the cross. It emphasizes the fact that we do have a cross to bear in this lifetime, as Jesus says any number of places. Probably one of the best is in Luke 9:24. If any would follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And what a Christian does then is to recognize that our life in bearing a cross means keeping my old nature in check. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just trying to do that for the rest of your life is more than
challenge
we can
enough.
Handle. Yeah.
Challenge enough.
But we're not left alone in that. That's why we're given the benefit of God's word and sacrament. That's why we're to be reminded or mindful of our baptism. And when Jesus speaks in John's gospel later on in chapter 16, he makes the point of saying
while you're looking for it, I can make mention, you guys can get a hold of us at the Y-Files on our Facebook page, where you can also send us some questions that you have that we haven't touched base on. We do have questions in mind, but it doesn't mean we have all the questions that we mm-hmm. like to have on this show. So if you want to have your question answered or do our best to answer on this program, go ahead and go to the Y-Files Facebook page, and you can post it on there. And also like our page while you're there, share our page while you are there, and let people know about this show, because I'm sure that if you are asking these questions, and we are asking these questions, then you know someone who's asking these questions, so they would be definitely excited to hear about this program. You can also go on YouTube, which I'll post links on the Facebook page, which is easier to find on YouTube, but you can listen to these episodes on YouTube, as well as going to thecross957.org and going to the program archive page and look up the Y-Files. So if you missed this show live, then you can listen to it again at somewhere else, at a different time.
What's the name of the YouTube channel?
The Y-Files.
Oh, okay.
But the unfortunate thing is that there's another channel called The Y-Files, and they literally do parodies of The X-Files, and they have a lot of videos, and that's what you're going to see first. That's why I say it's better just to go on Facebook after I get it uploaded, and I'll put the link on Facebook, and
right.
then go there from there.
Right.
I think the more views that we get for The Y-Files, the more it's going to pop up at the top of the list at YouTube. But until then, kind of like the very bottom of that viewing list.
Is it Y, so, spelled W-H-Y, or is it?
Just the letter Y. Good question. Oh. Good question. Yeah, it's just the letter Y. But we do like to put in the W-H-Y also, but it's just not on YouTube. Because we do have a lot of Y questions.
Indeed.
As well as how and does and where and when and all that stuff. So, like I said, you're listening to the Y-Files, and we're here with Pastor Schmidt talking about suffering.
The passage I want to refer to was at the very end of John 16, where Jesus says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That word tribulation means being under pressure. It could be under pressure from my conscience because of something I've done wrong. It can be under pressure because of somebody opposing me when I try to express any kind of Christian concern or comfort. It can be a Christian can be under pressure from the idea of just simply living a life which is in accord with God's will rather than the will of the world. And in many cases, you end up trying to fly under the radar.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not always easy either. But to go about your job and do what you know you're supposed to be doing, and you know, that in and of itself can sometimes get some people upset with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David, did you have a question?
I guess
you started saying something. And
yeah, I'm thinking about different talking about bearing your cross as a Christian in this fallen world. It made me think about there are different kinds of suffering as delineated by the causes of the suffering. For me, I guess speaking from my own heart, it's easier for me to get a handle on the why of suffering that occurs because of the will of another human being. Because God is loving and all-powerful, but he is not, you know, he is not the only creature with free will. We all have free will, and as such, the possibility of wrongdoing and thus suffering is there. So it's easy for me to understand suffering that occurs due to somebody's exercise of free will. The suffering that is a little more difficult to get my head around is stuff like hurricanes and diseases and things that don't occur because
daily
of
or.
Right, they don't occur because somebody is doing something willful. It's just the nature of the universe that we live in. And I think for most people who struggle with the idea of pain, with the problem of pain, that is the kind of suffering that is difficult to understand. Like just suffering because of somebody's exercise of free will is difficult, but you understand why, because there's somebody exercising their will, and that necessitates the danger of wrongdoing.
Well, on this, you know, on the subject of free will, we basically, yes, I can decide what color a shirt to wear and whatever. Don't so much talk about free will when it comes to anything of a spiritual nature. In that, we're brought back from dead to life by God's word and spirit. The things like hurricanes or tornadoes or whatever, yes, they're forces in nature, and lo and behold, God created nature and the forces that are in it.
Right.
And
so then you got people say, well, if God created hurricanes, then he purposely killed people.
And maybe that was their time to die.
And then that question comes up again of, if I thought God was a loving God, then why would he let this kind of a thing happen?
Well, so if that was their time to die, it frustrates us that it was in such a violent manner. I'm not trying to be cavalier about this. We don't know what our last day is in this world. But if God has me peacefully folding my hands on my chest and surrounded by my family, and I die in that setting, well, good and fine. But if it's in a less than wonderful situation, then so be it.
Yeah. You guys are listening to the Y-Files. It's the bottom of the hour. We've got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We got some more great questions coming up.
Ever wonder what the LP stands for in KNNALP? Low power. 95.7 FM is a low power radio station. So, if you begin to lose reception as you make your way outside of Lincoln, then just switch on your mobile device to the KNNA app or go to thecross957.org and listen on the web.
Listen and learn. Tune in to Classroom 1 right here on KNNALP FM 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
That's Pastor Brown, by the way, on that spot there. He's a great teacher and pastor, so
yep.
Tune into that show. So you are listening to The Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, along with David, and we're here with our guest pastor, Pastor Schmidt. We're talking about suffering, and you wanted to finish up our discussion with suffering before we move on to the next question.
Yeah, there was just a few passages from Romans 8. I would encourage anybody that wants to look into this to read Romans 8, starting at verse 18 to the end of the chapter. Here's just a few select verses. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, in other words, those who trust and believe in Him or worship Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. A little farther on here, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And a little further on, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? In all these things, we are conquerors above all through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor heights nor depths, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're not going to see the end of these things in this world.
Right.
This world is going to continue on.
There's always going to be some evil.
Well, Luther describes it as a house that is creaking and groaning and ready to collapse. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing we can do to, in that respect, save the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you can try to address climate change or whatever it is, your favorite little thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to stop this world from eventually deteriorating into the very least of all things that God wanted to see.
Right.
And at that time, our Lord will return.
Yes.
Now, we may think that this, well, it's about time, isn't it, now?
People have been saying that for years.
Yeah. But with that in mind, then, back to the word tribulation, this is what the church is under then, and it seems to be an increasing tribulation as the world goes on,
mm-hmm.
To the point where there were more Christians who died for their faith in the 20th century than in the 19 previous centuries put together.
Wow.
So
I was not aware of that. That's incredible.
Another place I would encourage people to go to is the whole book of 1 Peter. It's only 5 chapters. But he's writing to people who are suffering because they are Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And gets at the fact there that he's even instituted government. Government's supposed to be, you know, protecting the innocent and punishing the evil.
Mm-hmm.
But we know what government can end up being, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And keep in mind then, I mean, even during the 70 years of the Soviet Union, God didn't overthrow the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was anti-religion and anti-Christian propaganda in particular, because he does not want chaos.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want anarchy. And so he allowed a godless government to exist, even though Christians were suffering under it, and it eventually forced people to look for something outside of their own experience and you ended up with intellectuals in the Soviet Union investigating Christianity because they realized it was one of the things that predated the Communist Revolution. Mm-hmm. Everything else had pretty much been wiped out. Mm-hmm. There are more Christians now in Communist China than there were in 1945.
I thought they banned the Bible. Didn't China ban the Bible?
Actually, we've had a printing press there for some time that supposedly has been printing Bibles there.
Then I heard wrong then. I mean,
well, they don't exactly encourage it. But,
right, okay.
But they are finding also that there's many more believers and appreciating the gospel. We're still a definite minority there.
Mm-hmm. Especially in this country, it's but been more and more so.
You go back to the early church, and one of the comments was the seed of the or the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church.
Yeah.
It was the confession of these people who suffered at the cost of their own life that actually encouraged more people to look into the Christian faith.
Hmm. That's wow. Wow. Well, I think we could continue to go on with this with this subject, as you said earlier. But we do need to move on. We do have another question. I don't know if we'll get to our third one, but let's get to our second one now. Here on the Y Files, at one point in Scripture, the disciples tried to drive out demons, and in this particular case in Scripture, they couldn't do it, and they went up to Jesus and he said, "We tried to drive out demons. How come we couldn't do it?" So the question is, could they not do it because they lacked faith?
Quite possibly. Yeah. Jesus addresses this. This is right after the transfiguration. Jesus, James, and John and Peter come down from the mountain, and they approach this village where there's a big crowd, and yeah, apparently the other disciples who were there were trying to cast out some demon and could not. And Jesus' response to it is, "Oh, you faithless people, lacking in faith." And the disciples that were there, yeah, they ask, "Why couldn't we do this?" And his response is, this kind can only be addressed by prayer and fasting. Maybe they, because of earlier success, when they had been sent out as in groups of two prior to that in the Gospels, they were given the authority to cast out demons and so on, and apparently did. But then you also see in Scripture references to what Jesus says when there are people that point out that, or rather he points out, that your own sons cast out demons, talking to the Jewish leaders. We see in the book of Acts a reference to a Jewish exorcist somehow having some authority to cast out demons. But what all of this amounts to, it's pretty sketchy. We don't really know all of that. Mm-hmm. But is there a lack of faith there? Well, then Jesus says, yes, it's because you of little faith, or you who are lacking in faith. In 1 Corinthians 12, there's a reference to gifts of the Spirit, and one of those is faith. And one commentator makes a point of saying that this seems to be not the believing faith, but rather this faith that seems to be able to address miraculous situations.
Hmm. See, that was going to be, that was actually a question I was working on just a second ago. If they were lacking in faith to do this work, to cast out the demons, were they also lacking in faith to salvation?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
No.
Okay.
And in fact, then when Jesus goes and speaks to the father of this boy who is demon-possessed, the man kind of says, "Well, if you can help," and Jesus repeats back to him what he just said, "If I can help." Mm-hmm. And the man ends up saying, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Mm-hmm. Our faith is like Swiss cheese. It's got holes in it.
Yeah.
we don't believe everything fully at all times in all ways, and we are lacking in any number of ways. Mm-hmm. that's part of what God does to protect us, to not let us be in situations where we will be tempted beyond what we're able to address.
Right.
And our own willfulness, on the other hand, our old nature, you know, our old nature has spiritual pride.
Indeed.
Our old nature would like to think, look, God, I'm this good. I can do this. Mm-hmm. Anything to keep Jesus from being center focus. Mm-hmm. That's something we need to keep in mind. Our old nature can be very pious at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really try to be impressive.
Yeah, and speaking of ourselves, I have a... This actually is technically our third question that I'm getting into. We have another episode coming up that talks more about faith in of itself. This one's starting to deal more with prayer. So if the disciples couldn't drive out a demon because of a lack of faith, then does God not answer prayers because of our lack of faith? And God, I know there'd be some pastors who would say, well, you need to rephrase that question. But that's the question that I've got. does God not answer prayers because of our lack of faith?
And you're right. I would rephrase it.
Yes.
God answers prayer no matter what.
Whether it's a
yes
no,
or no, yes, or maybe
wait.
Later.
Yeah.
What is it we're praying for? What is it that we're asking? Is it... there's a passage that... always puzzled me for a while, John 15, after Jesus talks about us being in the vine and or in the branches who are in the vine, and in fact, the beginning of that section, he talks about his father is the vine dresser, which means he's been chopping off the stuff we've been suffering or having things eliminated because in order to produce more growth in us. Mm-hmm. In John 15, verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Whatever I desire, which is my old nature right away jumping in and thinking this is a blank check.
Right.
And so whatever I want.
It's like the genie in the lamp kind of thing is what.
Yeah. Well, the important part is at the beginning of the verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, God's word is intended to shape and give direction to our new nature, to us as people in Christ. And because of that, then our desires change. What it is that we should be focusing on changes from the influence of the world. We learn that sometimes the things in advertising really aren't that accurate. Mm-hmm. You can really have it all. You can, you know, whatever you want. And
I've been there.
Yeah, and so our continual and ongoing contact with God's Word and Sacrament is partly intended to change and shape and help us grow as people who are in accord with God's will. Rather than thinking, oh, Jesus saved me, now I can go do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. That's cheap grace.
That's completely off the beam. So,
right.
No, it's a whole different mindset. And maturing as a Christian is not maturing so that I can impress myself with how much more holy I am today than yesterday. Mm-hmm. It is instead becoming more and more aware of how much I need a Savior. Mm-hmm. And that need is met in Christ Jesus.
We are here with Pastor Schmidt. We were talking about, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about suffering and why we go through that. If God's a loving God, then why does he let us suffer? We touched base on the disciples not being able to drive out a demon and whether or not that was because of a lack of faith. And then that led us into the question of, does God not answer some of our prayers because of our lack of faith? And true enough, God does answer our prayers. It might just be a yes, no, or a wait. So anyways, this is the Y-Files. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
So that is the stuff when I talk about the necessity for reason, that's the stuff I think that is more relevant. Now, I think that you do need a religious system in order to inform people who are not going to sit around philosophizing all day what are good and bad modes of behavior.
With something pretty exciting at the beginning of the year here, you know, something that's really debated and talked about in the realm of politics and these sorts of things is, do we need God for a moral foundation in order to have an objective reality? That's really the big question, and that's...
Listen to Matthew Garnett and In Layman's Terms on Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock and Friday afternoons at 5 p.m., right after Issues, etc.
That's another good show. Tune into that one, too. You guys listening to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM. Be sure to go on our Facebook page, the Y-Files, just the letter Y, and like our page, share our page, tell everybody that we're here, and watch the post so you know what questions are coming up for the following week. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we do have an Easter episode with Pastor Kirk. We're going to be doing some resurrection discussions on there. And no, it won't be an April Fool's thing. It will not be an April Fool's thing. I thought about having an April Fool's question April. Along with the resurrection.
But yeah, no.
I'm going to steering clear of that one. I wasn't very serious about that.
That would get sniffed out right away.
Yeah.
Especially if we had Pastor Poppy. This isn't a real question. What kind of question is this?
So I'm Captain Kirk. I'm here with my co-host David. We are joined joining with us is Pastor Schmidt. And we're discussing prayer and faith. And because we're losing a little bit of time, I wanted, if it's okay, unless you had something else to add, I wanted to go on to our final question here. And this to me is an interesting one because throughout all of my Lutheran life, you know, I've always heard it's the Holy Spirit that gives us faith. Mm-hmm. That's how we believe, because we on our own cannot believe in God. It's like, okay, I get that. So the Holy Spirit is the one that gives me faith. But then I begin to think, well, what about people who don't believe? Mm-hmm. What about those people? Did God, the Holy Spirit, just decide not to give them the faith and they're just on their own? Like, that's kind of what it appears. So so how come not everyone has faith, Pastor?
This is another one of these questions. I'd rephrase it. How come not everyone believes?
Okay.
Because then you're dealing with the fact that not everyone does believe. People don't want anything to do with this Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's such a ridiculous thing that this person dying like this is supposed to make my life better.
Right.
That's the world's view of it. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to the end of the chapter is just excellent on that and gets at the fact that this is utter foolishness as far as the great philosophers of the first century, the Greeks, and this is utter foolishness as far as the chosen people of Israel, because they weren't looking for somebody who would be crucified. And so with the humility and lowliness of the cross, you end up with an impossible situation for those who are looking for a this worldly savior. Mm-hmm. A passage that's really good in regards to this, I think, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Where Paul says, "We also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." This is God's way of dealing with us. This is why we talk about word and sacrament so much, mm-hmm. because the Holy Spirit works through word and sacrament. This is not to say that somewhere, somehow, God can't do something, but he has bound his church, at the very least, to using word and sacrament. Mm. And this is why it is necessary to call pastors and to send pastors out and missionaries and to be training pastors in other countries and everything else, so that this word goes out and more people hear this word. When things about Jesus are misrepresented, when you have Islam, which misrepresents who Jesus is and what he did, the things that come out of that are nothing good. God's word and sacrament seems like too simple a thing, too ordinary a thing. And then you even have people within Christianity who turn this word into, it has to be some kind of motivational speech. And forget what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And then later on, where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So this whole idea of faith is God's gift to us. It's like there's been a car wreck, and the rescue squad shows up. They don't ask the guy for permission to use the paddles, whatever you call it.
Those AEDs.
Defibrillator.
Will you sign here, please, so we can use these on you? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into the life, comes into the existence of dead people. Because after all, when Adam and his wife sinned, they still walked around. Well, the day that you eat of this tree, you'll die. There they were, zombies walking around. Right? So,
I have heard people describe it that way. Yeah, that's nothing new.
Well, that's not original with me. Oh, here.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you. Well, what do you mean by dead?
Well, spiritually dead, and this is what it means that we have lost the image of God. The image of God wasn't just that somebody somehow looks like God, a certain shape of nose or color of hair. The image of God is that Adam and his wife reflected in the way they treated one another and all of creation around them as God would. If you could add a video recorder back then, you could have seen, taken pictures of this is what God is like by looking at Adam and his wife.
Going back to, you mentioned at the very beginning, well, Adam and Eve had nerve endings, so didn't they experience pain? If you imagine them having the nature of God, well, God, as demonstrated in Scripture, especially during the Incarnation, God did experience pain, but he experienced it. He bore it in such a way that it was still in keeping with perfection. So.
That just
suddenly occurred to me.
Yeah, that's something I hadn't thought about either.
Yeah,
that's an interesting point. Interesting point. So would you say that God does give everybody that gift of faith? But then, does it come down to the individual to decide whether or not they are going to take that gift?
No, that's where being lost or dead in trespasses and sins. There's a dead corpse. That's how that character is. No, God's word is to bring people to life. And historically, then, we've had more people brought into the Christian faith by parents bringing their children to baptism. Because that's where God is doing that thing.
But God does work outside of baptism, though, right? I mean,
he does. His baptism has value because his word is attached to it.
Right.
And so it's that Holy Spirit in God's word that makes the difference. And that's why he wants his church to take his word out to people.
So for someone who did not grow up Christian by any means, maybe they grew up in an atheist family, and they're curious about Christianity, so they start reading the Bible, and maybe they'll even go to a church service just to see what it's like, Is that already the Holy Spirit working in them before they're even baptized?
Yes, I would say so. Yeah, there's no. If they're being exposed to God's word, in fact, when Peter talks about wives who are believers and their husbands aren't, that he talks about the husband's hearts being changed because they see what the wife is like. The believing wife acts in such a way that it is a proclamation to her husband. This is what Christianity is like and is about. Now, in the end, yes, you still have to have an expression of the gospel itself. It isn't that we just go and be nice to people,
right,
and walk away.
Yeah, it's not about good deeds.
Yeah, and it's not about a social gospel whereby we're going to make a better world and everything will be just perfect and we won't want to leave and go to heaven.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So when I brought up the question of, you know, can you still have the Holy Spirit working in you? Sorry, everybody. When you still have the Holy Spirit working in you, and you're not baptized, it still happens. But once you start getting into that, you need to understand that God does still command us to be baptized. So you still need to do that.
And that's because there you have an objective fact. You can point at this particular time, September 23rd, 1913, and say, I was baptized on that day. Mm-hmm. That's why that's one of the reasons you have sponsors. So they will tell you, yes, Junior, you were baptized at this time.
And so I have those witnesses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, during a lot of church services, if not all of them, we will always be referred to back to our baptism.
Well, that's what you're doing right away with the confession of sins. Mm-hmm. Confession of sins is a return to your baptism.
Hmm. I'd never heard it summarized that way. It's interesting.
Many times when I'd had baptism at the beginning of a service, the family then went back to the pew and so on, and I simply announced, now let us all return to our baptism. Please turn to page mm-hmm. so-and-so, and we will confess our sins.
And that doesn't mean that we're all getting baptized again.
No, but it does mean that it's being reasserted. You are God's child because of what he has done in Christ Jesus, and you've been attached to that in your baptism. That's what Romans 6 proclaims. Mm-hmm.
You guys have been listening to The Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM. We're just about out of time, actually. So you can go to our Facebook page, The Y-Files. That's just the letter Y. I don't think I ever made that distinguishing remark until Pastor Schmidt said something. It's not W-H-Y. It's just Y-Files. And you can go there, like our page, share our page, let everybody know that we have this show out there. And you can listen to us anywhere in the world as long as you've got internet technology. Mm-hmm. And there's something else that you can also do on Facebook, and that's I don't know why that's playing. That's not supposed to be playing.
That was happening.
This
is
what happens when you run a show and try to be a part of the show at the same time and producer and host simultaneously. it makes things interesting. It really does make things interesting. Anyways, when you're on our Facebook page, you can actually go to the settings section where this is one of the first pages that you see as soon as you pull up Facebook. Mm-hmm. So go to that setting and make sure that you select this page as one of the first ones that you see, so that way when there's any posts, you'll be one of the first ones to see it. And it's the same thing with When Music Goes Music or Notes from the Stage or the Off on a Tangent. What else do we have? Is that it? Or the K&A page.
Yeah.
I mean, the K&A page itself. So be sure that you do that. So, Pastor Schmidt, thank you very much for being on the show.
It's good to be with you guys.
We'll have you on again in the future. We'll be in contact about that. Mm-hmm. David, thanks for being here also.
Of course.
If you guys have any questions out there for us that you'd like to have on this radio show, go ahead and send it to us at the Facebook page, The Y-Files. So, we will see you guys next week for Easter, April 1st. It's not April Fool's Day. It's Easter. We'll see you then with Pastor Kirk. See you later.